Hey guys, what's up y'all? It's Akayla. Welcome to the Tiny Terror Show. Welcome back, welcome back. The Tiny Terror Show is my podcast where I usually talk about, you know, horror content, comic book content, you know, pretty much it's a catch-all for things that I don't talk about on my blog podcast with my blog bestie, Renice. But I decided I'm going to start a new series called Girl, I Think the World is Ending. This is mainly gonna be a series where I talk you guys' ears off instead of my best friends about all of the conspiracy and spiritually led things, just the weird stuff I like to talk about, but it'll be more focused on the day-to-day horror in the world than horror manufactured, you know, for our viewing pleasure. Today I wanted to cover a recent case of human sacrifice in my home country, the beautiful land of Jamaica, and the connections that it may have to Obia. Before I begin, I want to address that I am definitely 110% praying for all the victims of this tragic event. I take the situation very seriously. I am just speculating about any connections to any, you know, negative things like spirituality and deities. I'm just speculating, so I don't mean to offend anyone, nor do I mean to come off as someone who's not thinking about the seriousness of the situation. But I still think it's important to discuss. I have ideas I want to discuss, some theories, and I feel like, you know, this is a space to do it. So let's go ahead and let's just dive right in. On October 17th, in the parish of Montego Bay, Jamaica, the Pathways International Restoration Ministries in Paradise, a church led by the so-called Dr. Kevin O. Smith, a trained psychologist. Anyways, he was a psychologist who weaponized his psychological training in order to influence his congregation into participating in ritual human sacrifice. It was reported that Dr. Kevin encouraged his congregants that night to leave their cell phones at home, but one female member that was eventually injured during the incident made the intelligent decision to keep her phone with her and phone the authorities as soon as she was injured and report the ritual that was in process. The police's response thankfully was swift, and upon their arrival, they were literally shot at by the male members of the congregation who were attempting to see that the ritual was fulfilled to completion. By the end of the night, the police were able to apprehend the remainder of the 136 members that had not either been injured or sacrificed in this rainbow-themed ritual. This ritual was apparently in preparation for a supposed ark that Dr. Kevin was preparing the congregation to go on, kind of like the story of Noah and the ark. Talk about that later. But this story really caught my attention because it occurred in the parish. If you don't know, a parish is kind of like a town or a city, or really it's more like a state in Jamaica. It occurred in the parish that my father is from, which is Montego Bay. These stories of ritual sacrifice are almost unheard of in the mainstream media in Jamaica. Within the last few years, things have been getting, I guess, progressively violent, I would say. So there have been some beheadings, some murders, some very violent open murders, and I just have been noticing a trend and increase in violence, especially violence against women and children. I just have been noticing an increase in Jamaica in the last few years. This situation is very reminiscent of the likes of Jim Jones and the Jonestown Massacre, which was truly a bleak moment in history. If you're not aware, Jim Jones, basically, you know the term drink the Kool-Aid, that's where that comes from. Basically, him and members of his congregation committed mass suicide after, like, the feds were creeping in on all the, like, weird atrocities that Jim Jones was doing in his little Jonestown in Guyana. Anyways, maybe we'll talk about it later, but most people know about Jim Jones, so it's very Jim Jones-like, and I was just really shocked about it because you don't really hear that kind of stuff happening in Jamaica. I mean, not outright anyways. However, members of this so-called cult have reported that Dr. Kevin and his ruling body, like the church, I guess the church leaders, had an overbearing control of their members' day-to-day lives, from choosing where they should work and whom they could and could not date or court. So if you, like, wanted to date somebody, you had to be like, "Ayo, Kevin," or, you know, "Kevin, Your Highness, I'm really feeling you know, little shoddy over there, what do you think? And if Kevin thought she was fine, or for some any other arbitrary reason didn't think that it would be a good match, the answer was no. And then the answer is no, you can't date that person, even if you're like madly in love with them. It's not that far-fetched if you have any experience with like Black church culture, Jamaican church culture. It's not that far-fetched that that kind of stuff was happening. Anyways, not blaming, not accusing, just acknowledging. When I heard the story, the first thing that came to my mind was obia. For those who are not familiar with this term, it's essentially a catch-all term for all spiritual practices that have origins in traditional African spirituality or other religions other than Christianity. For example, some voodoo practices and other forms of spirituality. Obia itself is not a religion, it's more of an action word. It refers to the ritualistic practices performed during these different religions, like, you know. Whatever. Oftentimes, when Jamaicans hear the word obia, they want nothing to do with whatever the term has attached to it. I've known for a long time, before I even knew what obia really was, that it's bad and I don't want any parts of it. And obia is always weaponized to hurt someone, and people go to the obia man or obia woman to have problems fixed. But it's almost always not good. Bad. Obia is bad. So yeah, in popular culture, basically, obia is the antithesis of everything Christianity has stood for. What most people don't know is that practitioners of obia often read passages from the Bible to try and invoke different spirits or angels that have familiar biblical names. There's a lot of tradition mixing that happens when people are doing obia or working obia. That's another way to say it. You're working obia. That's why I'm like, it's an action word. You know what I mean? Common spiritual practices performed in current day churches have nearly identical parallels in traditional African religions. Most likely, these practices were adopted when our enslaved ancestors converted to the religion of Christianity. Things like wearing white during our baptisms, which occur in water. Water is a big part of traditional African religions. There's something called warring in the spirit. If you're Pentecostal, especially if you're Jamaican Pentecostal, you know what people are warring in the spirit. They're walking up and down the aisles of the church, they're moving their arms, they're performing systematic movements that have spiritual parallels. So they're warring in the spirit. It looks like they're fighting nothing in this plane, but on the spiritual plane, they're fighting against unseen adversaries, basically. As well as the tradition of having an altar. All churches have altars. And the more you learn about traditional African spirituality or other forms of religions like Wicca and just other things in general, pagan religions, altars come up quite a lot. So let's just take a moment and let's just do a deep inhale right now and discuss why I would be bringing up the parallels between Christianity and these more traditional African-based or other religions. Let's start with what I'm not saying. And I would like to start with what I'm not saying because my mom listens to my podcast, and I know if she sees that I'm trying to connect the dots between obia and Christianity, she's gonna call my grandma, and my grandma's gonna be here with a bottle of anointing oil before I can finish a sentence. What I am not saying is that mental illness did not play a part in this terrible tragedy. It 110% did. Dr. Kevin Smith was a psychologist trained and weaponized his training in order to capitalize on groupthink and just religious coercion in order to get people to participate in the murders of two to three people, I believe. So that's 110%. That's human. He did that. I'm not saying that he was under the influence of some demon or spirit that forced him to do that. No, he did accord. He did that of his own accord. And I'm 110% doing the cha-cha slide with Prince Edward in hell. Yep, they doing the cha-cha slide, they doing the Cupid shuffle. He is burning up. burning up for you, baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's toasted. He's toasting in hell right about now. And I'm also not saying that any specific religion was to blame for this tragedy. I'm not saying that all traditional African religions are evil. Absolutely not. Not what I'm saying. Nor am I saying that Christianity is bad. I am a Christian. I am not saying Christianity is bad. All I'm saying is there's much to discuss. This man may have been combining Obeah and Christianity to achieve his desired outcome, which has been reported by his members to be some kind of ark. If you're not familiar with traditional Bible stories, an ark is like a big old boat, and it's basically the story of Noah and the ark. Basically, God told Noah, yo, I'm about to flood this whole place, yo, this whole world. And Noah was like, okay, bet. And God was like, yo, build a big old boat. And Noah was like, okay, bet. And then he tried to get like some of the people or whatever to like, hey, it's about to flood, come on my big boat. And they basically were like, boy, you stupid as hell. So they didn't come. And then, you know, the whole thing, Noah's got two of each animal that he could save, and then it rained for like 40 days and 40 nights, I believe. Bible scholars, you can correct me, but I believed it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and everybody died, they drowned, and then God was like, here's a rainbow, I promise I won't drown you all again. Mwah. Boom, that's basically the story. If you want to hear it in a better way, then, I don't know, crack open your Bible. So we won't be garnering any further clarity as to what kind of ark Dr. Kevin was trying to even achieve. Dr. Kevin actually was mysteriously killed in a car crash shortly after his arrest. Yeah, that's real interesting. My niece Miki, she would say that's weird. I'm not saying that corruption within the Jamaican police had nothing to do with that. You know, I can be rational. I love being rational. I'm just saying it's very strange. It's a strange ending to an already strange story. But anyways, back to Obeah. There are many different religions that observe Obeah practices, but for the most part, these Obeah rituals have a four-part organization, and I love a good organization. There is the invocation, negotiation, appeasement, and verification. So when loosely applying these segments to the eyewitness reports, and just a little bit of what I know about church procedures and spirituality in Jamaican churches, specifically Pentecostal churches, I came up with a little bit of an analysis. And of course, I just want to, again, preface this with, this is a lot of speculation. I am speculating a lot, so don't be mad at me. I already said it's speculation. All right, so number one, the invocations of that night were probably some kind of chorus, sung to, quote, set the atmosphere. That's a phrase that a lot of Christian people are very familiar with. We'll sing a song that resonates with us very spiritually and deeply so that we can feel more connected to God and set the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to flow through us and make an appearance. There were mentions of a lot of rainbow colors. This could be in reference to the traditional ending of the story of Noah and the Ark that we discussed earlier, where the Lord shows a rainbow as a promise not to flood the earth again. But also, different colors are used to invoke different spirits and feelings in different traditional religions. This episode is already going to be a little long, so I'm not going to go into how rainbows were used in Obeah, but maybe I'll touch on it in a different episode if I feel so inclined. So we had the invocations. So basically, they were trying to summon somebody. I don't know who they was trying to summon, but they were trying to summon somebody. Next is negotiations. Because Mr. Dr. Kevin is dead, we have no clue to whom they were trying to invoke, because most of the church members thought that this was like they were doing God, like traditional Christian God. I'm not of that opinion. I think that Dr. Kevin was trying to invoke something else under the guise of it being God, but that's just me. I understand that I have bias on the situation. But the bottom line is we have no clue of what his true intent was. So negotiation or providing analysis on negotiations becomes a little hazy. If we are to assume that they were trying to speak to God, then perhaps they were asking for safe passage on this so-called ark. But there are no indications that they were building like a physical ark. You know what I mean? Like in the story, God tells Noah to build an ark and then he builds one. There was no, you know, proof or evidence that they were building a physical boat anywhere. So this would most likely be referring to a metaphysical ark, which even just brings up more implications that I don't even really want to think about. But if it was a metaphysical ark, where are you going? You know what I mean? The ark was a boat to take, like it's a mode of transportation. So if he wanted them to get on an ark, like where, what's the stop? You know what I mean? You going from point A to point B. What's point B? That's what my brain is thinking. Like, what's point B? What's the point? What are you trying to, you know, what's your intent? What's your, you know, end game? Anywho. So it's a metaphysical arc. Much of it is lost. Dr. Kevin is dead. He's dead as a doormat. And we just may never know unless, you know, members of his, you know, church body start telling, or if someone knows a little bit more, or who knows if they're even going to tell now, because Jamaicans really don't take too well to Obi and things of that nature. So maybe they're just going to keep their mouth shut, even if they do know. The part we do have a lot of information about was the appeasement. This is where the deity has already been called on during invocation. The deity during appeasement tells the diviner is the person who's like speaking to the deity or whatever. The deity tells the diviner what exactly it's going to take to make the appeasement happen. Meaning, what are we bartering here for me to grant your request, your desire? It was reported that goats, cows, and rabbits, as well as the two or three human lives that were slaughtered, taken away, all of these, well, the animals and the people, their throats were slit in sacrifice to whomever. Appeasement doesn't always have to include the death of living things. It could just be like fruits and perfumes. Kind of like, okay, don't get me, I'm not comparing ritual death to the Day of the Dead. I am not comparing it, but it's kind of like having, please, my Spanish-speaking friends, don't yell at me. An ofrenda. It's kind of like that. It's a type of altar. It's kind of like that. It doesn't have to be evil and weird and demonic. It can just be like fruits and foods and just an offering. It doesn't have to be weird. Anyways. But all the things, like I was saying, have to be placed on an altar. That's what ofrenda means, I think. Again, I don't know that much about the Day of the Dead. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Just don't yell at me. Please and thank you. Anyways, an altar is something that most churches have. For those who aren't familiar with altars, it's essentially a place where a person can go to offer something to God in exchange for something else. Typically, people go up to the altar to pray on their knees. You pray and you offer you and your life to God in supplication. That is something that's said in church a lot, prayer and supplication. I didn't really know what supplication meant, so I looked it up. And it is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. So in prayer and supplication, like basically like, hey God, please, I really want this. So you ask God that. And you approach God, you ask him or them, whatever, for whatever you're desiring, whether that be healing, like healing of your body, greater spiritual wisdom, or simply just the desire to continue to use your life as a living sacrifice for the Lord. Listen, you know, I write out a lot of the things I'm going to say before I say them on the podcast. And I wrote out like, continue to use your life as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And I was so uncomfortable with the parallels, being that we're talking about human sacrifice, and so much of traditional Christianity has to do with sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his life, which is technically like it's a human sacrifice. And then we are to sacrifice our lives. We are supposed to, in traditional Christian theory, how it's being interpreted mainly around the world, we are supposed to deny ourselves certain things as a sacrifice to the Lord. So we live our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord. So we don't, you know, we don't supposedly cheat, steal, lie, kill. We hold ourselves back from those things as a sacrifice to the Lord. And I don't know, all this sacrifice business, just, and then the altar things, the parallels just make me feel really uncomfortable. I'm not even gonna lie to you. But we're just gonna push past it. So I'm just gonna go ahead and put on my conspiracy tin cap. if you want to go ahead and put yours on with me, because I just have the strangest feeling that the untimely death of Dr. Kevin was very convenient. Again, Dr. Kevin is the leader. I think his death is so convenient because it's either one of two things to me. It's either one, Jamaican police are very corrupted, child. They are very corrupt. They are good police officers, but they are corrupt. So maybe it was a hit, you know, maybe it was just an assassination. It wouldn't be shocking to me. Or Dr. Kevin could possibly be the last sacrifice needed to complete his ritual. We don't know what they were doing up in there. We don't know who they were invoking. We don't know and like what the deity or spirit that they were invoking really needed to complete whatever they were asking for. So who even knows how many people or animals he needed to sacrifice to appease whatever he was evoking? Possible. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just entertaining the idea that maybe he was the final sacrifice. You know, we'll really never truly know, but I don't know, I just like to put my tin hat on and like speculate about stuff. Anyways, the last step. So we did invocation. We did, invocation. Oh God, here we go. It just flies out of my invocation, negotiation, appeasement, and verification. We are now at the verification stage, right? Cool. So we have no clue. I know I said that a lot during this episode, but we just don't know until more people keep start talking, or, you know, people come forward. We will not know who they were invoking, what the person or spirit they needed to invoke or invoked, what they needed to be appeased, and we don't even know what the intent was. They just keep saying it's to build an ark. What kind of ark? Where are we going? What's gonna happen? You know, so many questions. What's your intent on that? Are we all gonna die? Was this some sort of like doomsday situation that was happening? And if it was, why did he need to do a ritual instead of them building a physical ark? That just leads me to believe, like I said, it was metaphysical and he was trying to do some kind of soul exchange, child. That's just what I think. That's just me with my tin hat on. That's just what I think. Okay, so we'll never know if whatever he was communing with accepted or rejected his sacrifice. Okay, we don't know if his obia worked. It's not lost on me that these events, like from them being found out, like the police being called, happened on October, I believe, 17th. And I think that Dr. Kevin died October 25th. So it's not lost to me that these things are happening during October and kind of near to Halloween, which is when people typically say that the veil between the human world and the spiritual world is at its thinnest. Listen, I understand if you don't believe in any of this stuff. I totally get it. We can literally talk rational explanations for terrible human behavior all day. I'll chat with you till we're blue in the face about it. But I just feel like more things have spiritual connotations these days, and I just don't want to ignore them. I'm a 50-50 girl. I love science, I love rationality, I love medicine. But at the end of the day, I think that there is so much we don't know. And the things that we do know indicate to me that there is a spiritual world. But, child, anyways, if you don't believe in any of that, just don't shoot me with your scientific bullets, okay? Don't yell at me. I'm sensitive. Don't yell at me. Okay? I just wanted to talk about spirituality today. We can talk about the perils of groupthink, though, because I think that is, like, one of the worst things. And if you don't know what groupthink is, it's like when there's something happening, like something dire, a dire situation, and there's a group of people, it's just the conclusions they can jump to and agree with in order to feel like they're part of the majority. Like, I don't know, if you watch a lot of survival movies and it's a group of people and they're stuck somewhere, like in a house, and the antagonist is outside, like the most radical off the wall type of personality can be adopted as leader because the people are just so desperate for stability and leadership that they'll let someone get in charge who has like the craziest idea. The craziest ideas. Sorry, the craziest ideas. Sorry, you didn't hear that part. Anyways, I could yap on all day, but I just think it's time to close about it. I don't know. I'm not trying to have y'all here out late. I'm in my bed as it is. But I have so much more to say about spirituality, the parallels between traditional African religion and, you know, just Pentecostal Christianity. I'll be trying to explore different world events and topics within the next few weeks. Like I said, this was a terrible situation. I wished it didn't have to happen or play out like this. I wish people didn't have to lose their lives. It does cause me to wonder how many Obia practitioners are like cosplaying and pretending to be traditional Christian pastors to get their appeasements verified by their deities. My personal opinion, I'd go ahead and check on your local pastor. But as for me, I'll just be keeping my eyes open with everybody I encounter. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Tiny Tara Show. I appreciate all you guys who listen to my podcast. All three of y'all, shout out. Hopefully I can get better at podcasting, because you guys know having a podcast is low-key so hard. Okay, it's so hard. So just bear with me. Be safe, you guys. I'm wishing you nothing but love and light. All right, guys. I hope you have a great night. Also, if you want to look at the articles or the resources I use to research this, they'll be in the description, as well as if you want to follow me on social media. All right, guys. You have a great day. Bye.